Great Country Q94. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version.
Yes, we're finally back.
It's back. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Well, you've been busy.
Yeah, it's that time of the year that I'm kind of busy, too.
Do cops have a time of year?
I seem to. I do. Yeah, I seem to.
I know you've been traveling a lot. You've been doing some teaching, and I was gone for a week. Yeah. Anyhow, we finally have time to sit down and do an extended version. I feel like we needed to do one because you brought in friends.
I did.
We had Hope in here, one of your new officers.
Yep.
So I didn't get to, welcome Hope.
Yeah, definitely. She's going to be a huge asset to us, I think.
Yes.
She's a great person. So
I did not have a chance then to discuss my ride along.
Yeah. How was that?
It was good.
Can we get an application?
Well,
do you want to apply and go back to Recruit Academy?
Maybe.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I think radio is where I'm at, but I told you this the week prior that I was like nervous.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what I was getting into.
Right.
I was very anxious. I was nervous. I think I even asked you what to wear.
Yeah, I think so. And really it's just like, come as you are. Like,
yeah.
We're pretty relaxed and this is really not a set, course of dress, but this was a result of Citizens Academy.
Yes, yes,
right?
Part of the Citizens Academy.
So those of you that are listening and have thought about the Citizens Academy, this is a perk.
It is.
Wear sweatpants, blue jeans.
I didn't wear sweatpants. Whatever. I just wore jeans and a sweatshirt because I wanted to be comfortable.
No, you have to.
Yeah.
And our cars aren't really that comfortable.
No, they're really not.
When I was in high school, I rode along and it made for some long shifts if you weren't comfortable.
Yeah. So that was what was interesting, too, is that there's a lot of just sitting. Like, my Apple Watch kept telling me that I needed to be more active.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the downfalls of being a patrolman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their squad car is their office, and there's times where they don't get out of that for a period of time. And so, you know, you got to emphasize getting out, walking around, getting in the office, changing the pace a little bit. I've been a police officer for a while, and I know that my staff has as well. And it's not exactly the most healthiest thing in the world, sitting around and or sitting in front of a computer and typing reports.
Mm-hmm. Just like being a radio DJ.
Maybe. Yeah. I guess I don't have the experience other than every Saturday. But
well, what you're doing right now is what we do all day.
Well, I can handle this. I can handle this. But I've said on air before, and you mentioned this off air too, is it's that adrenaline of not knowing what the radio is going to say next. And sometimes that's a really cool call and you have a lot of fun, and sometimes it's a terrible call and it changes lives. And for me, that's why I love this job, is I just don't know what my radio is going to tell me next, and I'm excited for it. So
I was riding along with Officer Kurt Wallen.
Yep.
And I did 5 to 9,
mm-hmm.
and it was a weeknight. It was a Thursday night.
Yeah.
So there was surprisingly not a lot going on.
Yeah, there wasn't. I read the reports the next morning, and there wasn't a lot happening. A couple traffic stops and some knuckleheads that were using the Anderson phone and
But what I did notice, and we've talked about this a lot before. There's a lot of communication that goes on.
Yeah.
A lot of discussing things with the people you encounter.
Sure.
A lot of de-escalating of situations.
Yep.
All the things that we talked about in the Citizens Academy, but you and I have talked a lot off air too, that communication is really key in your job, and I think I got to see that.
Yeah, if you cannot orally communicate with people face-to-face, this is probably not the career for you. We run into that occasionally with interviews, when we interview folks. There's times where we will call somebody into an interview room, and there's not a chair for them to sit in. And they'll come in, and they'll like look around, like, what am I supposed to do? And that's just a curveball that we throw out, and there's usually a stack of chairs.
Yeah.
And some people will walk over to the stack, and they'll grab a chair off, and they'll sit down and not even say a word and just make themselves at home. And other people will stand there awkwardly and say, do you mind if I grab a chair, or where am I supposed to sit, or whatever? And that's really our first test on your ability to communicate. Can you ask the questions that need to be asked?
Or can you just go with the flow and stand there?
Yeah, can you just go with the flow and be comfortable in your own skin? And
So what is... Wait, what... when you're doing that, what is the proper thing to do? To just walk over and grab the chair?
Well, it really tells you about somebody and their personality, you know, and what type of person they are.
You know, in case I do put my application in.
I'm not holding my breath. But, you know, there's really not a right answer. It just speaks to more of what the person is. Are they innovative and walk over there and grab it and fix the problem? Or are they waiting for direction? Are they, you know, somebody who is a conformist that's waiting for somebody to give them their way? And that's not really, you know, what we're looking for. I don't direct my staff every day. I expect them to come to work and do their job and go home. If we have to constantly direct somebody, that's probably not a great asset to have. But, you know, some people are comfortable staying in there and they're just like, cool, ask me the questions. I got answers for you.
Need a chair.
We go through the interview. So, good. I'm glad that you caught on to that because I'll give you a quick story. I had applied at another agency one time and I was sitting in the lobby with two other applicants and myself and another gentleman started making small talk and we were just talking about where we came from, the departments we worked for, those types of things. And there was a female who was across the room from us and so we started trying to include her in the conversation and her face was in her phone the whole time that we were in this room. And we asked her a question and she looked over her phone and clearly did not want to be asked
in a conversation.
Yeah, she did not want to be in a conversation at all. And I remember the gentleman and I looking at each other like, well, I guess we shouldn't have asked. But from my perspective, that's not a person that is a good fit, especially for our department, because you really have to be able to communicate with people. That's important.
And be a team player.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, communication is key in so many things.
Yeah, I mean, think of your workplace that you're in. Any random workplace, communication is crucial.
And understanding how somebody else communicates is key, too. Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting. There was just watching the difference in when Kurt would communicate with an adult versus when he would communicate with children. Like, you know, it's adapting and whatnot. It was very interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, Kurt's been doing this for a long time, too.
So I was going to say.
Yeah, he knows his way around conversations, it's easy for him at this point in his career.
So. Yeah, and poor guy just had me, jabbing his ear off all night long. I mean, there's not a lot to do.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Kurt. Thanks for putting up with me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he probably went home and was like,
decompressed.
Like, oh my gosh, that was a lot.
Yeah. He never said anything. So
he didn't hand in his resignation.
He did not put in a overtime or a hazard duty pay or anything like that.
Well, I said, I was like, you know what? Okay, now that I've done it on a weeknight, that I kind of got the first taste of a traffic stop.
Yep.
You know, I got the first taste of that's a very suspicious looking vehicle and what are they doing? And, you know, not just, oh, they're going 10 over the speed limit. Like, that's a suspicious looking vehicle. What's going on?
Yeah.
And it turned out to be absolutely nothing.
Right.
But now that I've had that, I'm like, okay, now maybe I could go back on a weekend.
Yep.
Like, do I get to come back again?
Well, we have a ride-along policy, and you're more than welcome to come back and adhere to that policy. I think, if I remember right, it's four times is the maximum
that
you can ride along.
And then you just get your own badge?
No. No. Sometimes there are times where people ride more often, especially if they're in an academy someplace.
Or they host a weekly radio show at the police chief.
Maybe. Or if they're at UW-Platteville or Southwest Tech going to school, we'll let them come in more often because they're really interested in getting in the line of work. And there are other people that come in just out of curiosity and want to ride. And I've been, you know, the officer that's taken riders before where the person sitting next to me doesn't say a word.
And see, I feel like that would be awkward.
Oh, my gosh, it's terrible. And could be, I'm a talker. Like, I want to converse.
Really?
Yeah, I want to converse with people. And I'll be like, so, you know, where do you live? And, you know, how old are you? Do you have a family? And those times are not great times in the squad car. But other people that are really there because they want to learn and get into things, and that's a good time. And we enjoy that. So,
well, I tried to ask lots of good questions.
Yeah, there are no ride-alongs for chief of police. That nobody wants to sit in my office and sign bills and balance budgets and direct staff. That's not a fun time.
Oh, come on.
No, it's not a fun time.
Not a fun time.
Nobody's signing up for that.
Yeah, like nobody wants to sit along with a radio DJ.
Except for Saturdays.
Except for Saturday mornings. Another one of the things you wanted to talk about, so ride along is behind me. I guess I'll wait a little bit. And
there you go.
And so I want to use up all my my ride-alongs. Nope. There's an election coming up.
There is.
Yeah. You are not an elected official. You're appointed.
I'm appointed by a police and fire commission who are appointed by the mayor.
Yes. The mayor is an elected position.
The mayor is an elected position.
The sheriff is an elected position. And then, of course, all of the
council members,
all of that. And I've had a lot of conversations with people over the years. You know, everybody pays attention when it's a presidential election. Yeah. Everybody pays attention and they have signs in their yards for, you know, Senate races and U.S. House and even state Senate and state assembly.
Yeah.
And those people do impact your daily life.
Sure. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but those city council elections and, you know, mayoral races, wherever you live, whether it's Prairie du Chien, anywhere, those are the ones really affecting your daily life.
Yeah, for me, they certainly are. And the decisions that are made at City Hall are important to me, and who makes those are important to me. So, you know, I guess my message is get out and vote and make sure that your ballot is counted and that you do your civic duty and cast your vote. That's important.
And be an educated voter.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked off air briefly about, you know, politics.
I had to make sure you weren't going to go on a political rant.
No, no political rant from me. No, I'm not a political appointee. I have no political affiliation. I don't endorse anybody, nor
right,
can I.
Right.
The Hatch Act doesn't allow me to. I just want people to vote. And here's my caution is I have voted Democrat in my life. I have voted Republican in my life, but I've never voted a straight ticket just because I feel like I need to vote for the person, not the party.
Yeah.
And I feel
well, that's
like,
what I was saying, being an educated voter, like finding
know
out
who you're voting for.
Right? Like, oh, I like this person because they said this one time. Well, okay, if they said it one time, like, but that's what you're going to base your vote off of?
Well, did they say it in August, September, or October?
Right?
Or have they said this for 5 years or 10 years? And, you know,
is it something that got completely taken out of context?
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, I'm not saying this as a media member, but there are some certain advertisements that can really pull things. And everybody does it. Both sides of the aisle do it. You know, there's a lot of mud being slung.
Yeah.
So while I'm telling you to listen to the radio, and you should definitely listen to the radio, and you should definitely encourage people to advertise on the radio, you should maybe also formulate an opinion.
Yeah, do your own stuff.
On who you're going to vote for based off what that actual candidate has said.
Yeah.
And not what's been put together on a 30-second ad.
I feel like for the last, I don't know, 8-12 years, we've said every election, this is like the most important election in my lifetime.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of sick of that.
This is important, though. Like, I think that this is a super important election. And again, you need to get out and vote. It's important.
It is.
You know, the state races do impact us locally here.
Oh, yes, certainly.
And really, the national races impact us here. We've seen, you know, there's been this whole defund the police movement, and we support police movement. Supporting police isn't about a checkbook. I mean, at the end of the day, that's not what it is. It's not about showing money, right? Money shows your support, but really it's your actions and the actions that you take to support the police department, not your slogan or your checkbook. That's just for me, doesn't convince me that you support the police department. You know, it's a sign, but it's not it. I look for people's behaviors, their actions and reactions to events and how they support or not support law enforcement. And, you know, really for me personally, that's important to me because that's my livelihood and that's my staff's livelihood. And it's the difference between us having a stable budget where we can have a well-trained, well-educated staff that knows their job, or we're scrimping by trying to find pennies to fill the void in our training budget. And that's important to me. So again, it's not about money. It's much more about actions and reactions to events that take place. And I pay attention to those things. I know that my staff pays attention to those things. And again, it's not a checkbook. That's not what shows support. It's being there when the chips are down, and also being there when there's, you know, the pendulum swung up too.
So, yeah.
Again, get out and vote. Make sure your vote matters and is counted, and make sure that you're an educated voter. That's important.
Yeah, from the police chief himself.
And leave people's political signs alone. Don't be stealing people's political signs. I don't care what side of the aisle. We always have the report of Democrat, Republican signs being stolen. Just leave them alone, for crying out loud.
Don't harass people that have different political signs than you do.
You're stealing their political signs says much more about your party than it does say about their party. So,
or you as a person.
Just leave their stuff alone.
Yeah.
You're not solving any problems doing that.
It's a good life motto. Leave everybody else's stuff alone.
Man, we'd probably reduce our calls for service pretty good if that was the case.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. We want to keep you busy, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
I enjoy being busy.
Right, because otherwise you're just sitting there watching people. Also, I have to give a shout out to Kurt because he was amazing at knowing how fast people were going. And I don't know, I mean, I've only ever ridden along with him, but before it would pop up on the radar, he would say a number and he was like on. I was impressed.
It's years of watching traffic. It's interesting because I will go to meetings and people will say, people are flying down my street. They're flying down my street. And I'll go down there and sit, and I don't see any cars flying. And the vast majority of them are going really close to the speed limit. And so not watching cars like we watch cars, you don't get that sense. And then when you have the tools to confirm what you're seeing, all it does is add validity to what you're seeing on a daily basis. And speed enforcement is one of my funnest things I do. I enjoy doing that. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it was fun because then I started. I was like, okay, well, if that car was going 35, this one must be going like 39.
Yeah,
yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, good.
So
you're welcome back too. He did not send me a message and say, don't ever do that to me again. So you're welcome to come back.
He didn't ask for a race.
He did not. No. You're welcome back.
Well, it is Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tienaar from Dunkin' Donuts and Prairie du Chien. The extended version. It's back.
Yeah, there we go.
Coffee with Kyle here on Q94.